Welcome to Super Tantis for Parshas Ki Savo. There is a few interesting stories that I'd like to share with you. The first one is a story about Rav Elia Lapian. Apparently, one of his grandchildren were visiting him and his wife. And as it goes with grandparents, I believe his wife must have given a candy to the child. And he overheard his child say to the the youngster, say thank you to Savta. And all of a sudden they heard him crying from the other room. And he said, look, they said, what's the deal? And he said, well, this young child didn't say thank you because they felt a deep feeling of Hakaras HaTov. They just did it because somebody told them to do it. And then I thought about, well, why do I daven Kadosh Baruch Hu when I say all the things that I say? Am I doing it out of like the real feelings, or am I doing it out of the fact that the sitter told me to? So it's just a reminder that as we prepare our hachanos for very important tefillahs that are coming up, every tefillah should be like this, but certainly, these extraordinarily important tefillahs that are right upon us. The impetus is on us not only to understand the words, but not only to understand the kavanos, but also to really feel those and to want to say those words. So it's there's plenty of time. Second, story about Rav Shalom Hashash. Apparently, he was walking with some Talmidim or Rechim. And he would walk with a cane, and at one point in time, going down a set of steps, he dropped the cane, and he was not young. So one of his one of the people of his accompaniment ran to go get the cane and bring it back to him. He said, "You don't have to do that. It's okay. I don't need the cane. I can walk without it." He used it anyway as a karsa tov to them, but he said, "I don't need it." He said, wait a minute, hold on. For as long as I've known you, you've walked with a cane. What do you mean but you don't need a cane? He said, well, about 10 years ago, I had an operation, and the prognosis wasn't so great. Baruch Hashem, it turned out probably better than many expected, and I was able to walk and everything like that. So, and it wasn't clear that that was going to be the result. So as Hakaras HaTov, for the last however long it's been, I have been walking around with this cane to remind me to be thankful. There's a beautiful story. Somebody asked Rav Steinman, is after the circumstances, maybe less relevant than just the answer. It was after Rabbi Wozner's funeral. Something had happened, and they were asking, what can we do to be mischazik? And he said, the greatest weapons that we have in this world are Torah and Chesed. So as the follow-up question was, well, yet Torah, but for a Ben Torah, what kind of chassadim should we be doing? And his response was kind of jarring. He said, well, in this instance, maybe the best thing would be to sit with a bachur in yeshiva that doesn't understand atosis and go through it with him and help him understand. So for all the tatis out there who are helping their children with homework, you're really doubling down, not only on Torah, but also on really a chesed. It's a chiyuv at certain points as well, but it's also a chesed to do for a child to put them at ease. I have children who have gone through and cycled through more stressful. My children generally don't need too much homework, al Baruch Hashem, but when they do, they find it stressful when they're trying to adjust or whatever, specifically right at the beginning of the year. Sometimes they're just still getting their footing and say, well, what is this about? And this is an extraordinarily busy time of the year for parents as well. They're trying not only to get their schedules in order, they're trying to get their life in order, and they would prefer for their children to get their homework in order themselves. But just this underscores the extraordinary importance to just help and lend that hand. Okay, so there's a beautiful Torah from Rav Moshe Feinstein in Sefer Kol Ram. So it says that when Klal Yisrael passes through the Jordan, they put up another set of stones and they put them on Har Eval, and that passage includes the phrase Vesamachtan Lifnei Hashem Lokechem. Says Rav Moshe, it's a little bit tamua to say that that would be a place of simcha. After all, Har Eval was where the klolos were. Wouldn't it be better to put these stones up where the brachos were? He says, no, that's precisely the point. He says that there's a real yesod here. The yesod is that everything in this world has a bracha that's in it. It has an element of kol d'avid rachmana latav, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything for good, and that includes the klolos. The klolos were there to get us in line before we passed into Eretz Yisrael, and it is so extraordinarily important for us to remember them in order to have an optimal existence. So that is key, and that in and of itself is a source for simcha. Now, uvau alecha kol habrachos ha'ela v'hizigucha ki tishmas Hashem Elokecha. Says the Nachlas Yaakov. This Nachlas Yaakov is the Nesivos ala Torah. He asks the following questions. What's the brachos coming to you? Ki hisikucha. He says, well, we understand there's a principle of schar mitzvah b'hayal malekah. So if we believe that there's no real schar mitzvah, then what's the deal with all these brachos that we're talking about? He says, well, the purposes of brachos in this world are to enable us to be able to do more mitzvos. And everybody knows that, and the real schar is in the next world. So that's why it says at the end of this, ki tishmas Hashem Elokecha, because fundamentally the purpose of these brachos is to allow us to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I believe the Abarbanel quotes the Ibn Ezra to say a similar idea with respect to Parshas Bechukosai, with respect to the second paragraph of Kriya Shema, or the Brachos and Klolos and Bechukosai, I forget which one it is, but both of them have the same thrust of a question, is if we really are living for the next world, then why do we care about listing all the Brachos here, and vice versa, and it may be the Rambam. I think the Rambam says, no, it's just... it's, you know, a klola is a speed bump to keep you from doing Ratzon Hashem, and a bracha is an accelerator to keep you able to do Ratzon Hashem. And further, there's a taz in, I believe, Parshas Eschanan, his Pirush on Rashi, that says a similar idea also about the kasha when Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years old, and maybe he had already lived all of his time and everything. And how could there be any hava mina then that he could have a longer life? And the Taz responds, it's okay to ask for more or to have more or anything else when you're doing it on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, meaning to say, I don't want to live longer so I can eat more ice cream or have more fun or play more basketball. Saying, I want to have more life so I can serve you, and I can serve Klal Yisrael. For that we can ask, and we can ask even in something which seems out of the ordinary or even mechutzif. So, last one. Arura Asher L'Yakim is called Yireya Torah Hazos. So, what is this all about? So, he says, what is this curse, this kind of this, what is called a... kind of a catch-all curse with all the everything in one basket. What's the purpose of this? Well, Skav Sofer says this may be responding to the concept, the misunderstood pardon me, the kind of the misdirected concept of when we say Rachmana Libra Baha Kadosh Baruch Hu really wants our hearts, that the hearts are the ikur and everything else is just tuffel and we just kind of do it because we do it or whatever. And they're trying to be Dorish time of the Kruh, meaning to say, what is the purpose of this and how do I achieve this? Maybe I can achieve it without mitzvos, which sounds a little bit like the ferment of Reform Judaism. So he says, no, that's why it says at the end of the Pasuk, Lasos Osam. So you can do them, meaning to say that the ikkar of our lives, we have to be, you know, we're foot soldiers for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do what he tells us without asking why. We want to know why to enrich our experience, but not to alter it. Another kasha, two kashas this week. First one is on the Rashi, where it says, Lo avarti mimitzvosecha v'lo shachachti. What does it say? Lo shachachti milavarech al hafreshos maestros. I said a bracha on maestros. So Rashi says here, based on this pasuk, that it sounds like the bracha for hafreshos maestros is a deraisa. However, if you look in the Gemara in Brachos Tesvav, seems like this bracha is clearly a derabanan. So if that's true, how will we miyashiv that Rashi? Second question is Ramban quotes. You know, we talk a lot about the rocks. You see a lot about the rocks this week. So he quotes the Sefer Tagi that says that the whole Torah was written on the rocks. So a very simple kasha to ask would be, well, if that's true, you have to have teeny tiny handwriting because there's a lot of Torah. And I mean, to fit that on 12 rocks is a gargantuan task. So three Teirutzim that I saw listed in Neimer Rishonim was one, the Ramban's, is that Enachanami was very, very large rocks, big rocks. That's the only way to do it. You got to get a big rock. Ibn Ezra said a Chiddush Godol. He said that maybe it could be that it didn't list Kol HaTorah Kula, but maybe just the minion of mitzvos. And the Rabag, Rav Levi Ben Gershon, said that perhaps it could be not that they listed all the Torah or the mitzvos, but instead it was the brachos and the klalos, which are miyoso inyan of what they were talking about when the beginning of this discussion about the rocks had taken place. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.